So there is a theme of roses, and I just want to point out the picture on the altar, and I am going to reference it in my talk, but I painted it with my daughter. So that's kind of how it happened that roses became part of the theme. I'm grateful for the opportunity to share my thoughts about grief and gratitude. I need to mention that meditation in the tradition of Thich Nhat Hanh has been a part of my life for more than 20 years. And I'm going to talk primarily about one Buddhist writing called the Five Remembrances, which reflects on the reality of life. Thich Nhat Hanh believes that if you deny the reality of life, you enjoy it less. For me, this acceptance of life is linked with the practice of gratitude. So Thich Nhat Hanh edited this version of the Five Remembrances. I am of the nature to grow old. There is no escaping growing old. I am of the nature to have ill health. There is no way to escape ill health. I am of the nature to die. There is no way to escape death. All that is dear to me and everyone I love are of the nature to change. There is no way to escape being separated from them. My actions are my only true belongings. I cannot escape the consequences of my actions. My actions are the ground upon which I stand. Now, I will admit that when I first read these, I was kind of taken aback. I was like, oh, I don't want to hear this. But since I've been reading them more often, and I find myself wanting to read them often, and it's actually become one of my Buddhist practices to read them, I've been sharing them with others who are thinking about impermanence and change. And I think most human beings are afraid of these things, old age, sickness, and death. And maybe the other one is public speaking, just so you know. That's what my speech teacher used to say, death and public speaking. So I just wanted to mention it. So anyway, focusing on the five remembrances is a way to develop fearlessness by being present for the things we fear. So long before I reflected on the Five Remembrances, my brother, Craig Smith, died at age 20. Active in Central Congregational Church, he went to Brown University and was completing his junior year when he was in a collision on Route 95 at the Thurber's Avenue curve. He died 2 days later. I was 17 years old at the time of his death, and I was sad and confused. I missed my brother, who was someone I admired and looked up to. And on a little humorous note, he was 6'4", so I always looked up to him. Anyway, but he and I were very different. He was outspoken. I was shy. He was the leader in the family. I was the one who quietly followed. His grades were incredible, and mine were okay. After he died, I realized that I could not follow in his footsteps anymore. I needed to be like him. I wanted to be like him. In some way, I became him. I thought about what he would do in a situation and tried to emulate his actions. I became bolder, more outspoken, more of a leader. In some way, I knew that the actions I took were central to who I was and who I wanted to become. My brother's death taught me an important lesson about taking action to become the person I wanted to be. My brother's death was the first teacher of the lesson of living in the present moment. Knowing that things could change in one moment, I became aware of the importance of living now, not living in regret, not holding back in fear, not being silent in doubt, but instead taking action. And in addition, I became deeply grateful for the moments I was alive. My parents were also my teachers as I was growing up. They taught me fear, doubt, and regret that I struggled with before and after my brother's death. My mother was fearful of the unknown and instilled that fear onto me. My father was very cautious and protective. Their reaction to my brother's death was to blame God, become withdrawn and bitter, and not accept help. I knew that I wanted to grieve differently, so I asked for help and received the help I needed. Asking for help and accepting assistance was a lesson I learned during this difficult time. Another lesson from my parents was regarding aging. I saw my parents enter old age, ill health, and death in a natural progression and accepted this sequence, which was a huge learning for me. My father gracefully accepted the limitations of old age, realizing that he needed to let go of certain physical activities and letting them go without complaint. I remember his actions now as I struggle with similar limitations. I'm not sure I'm quite as graceful as he was, but I'm hoping that he can be my model. My coworkers were also my teachers. I was lucky enough to work in several vibrant and creative nonprofit organizations, as were mentioned earlier, the Providence Children's Museum and Ready to Learn Providence. My best lessons there were about the joy of teamwork and the beauty of community. At our best, staff worked as one, embodying cooperation, open-hearted hard work, and satisfaction through positive action. I saw the community that my coworkers created with careful and positive leadership and learned how actions can create results. Now, this is the harder part for me to talk about. I'm just going to say that. My daughter Margaret, who was born in 1984, suffered a severe stroke at age 22. Margaret taught me about change, as all children teach their parents about change as they grow up and learn new things, changing from infant to toddler to youngster to adolescent and then to adult. Seeing my daughter change from an athletic, healthy, beautiful, and articulate college student into a daughter who could not walk or move her arms or eat or communicate was a harsh lesson in change. My reaction was shock, fear, and sadness. Where was my daughter, the one I knew and loved? She was right in front of me, but she was totally different. I sat with her and got to know this new Margaret. I sat with her and learned to stay in the present moment rather than linger in the suffering of regret and anxiety, thinking about what might have been, like new apartments after college, wonderful jobs, marriage, and grandchildren. I sat with her and surrounded her with love in every way I knew how, with music, with beauty, with meditation, with kindness, with touch, and with friendship. She and I learned to make art together. Holding her hand with a pencil or paintbrush, we created over 100 paintings, as well as hand-painted bags and dolls. Some of you may remember the art show that of our work that was at the Atrium Gallery in 2016. And the reason I did this with her, besides the fact that it made us both happy, was that it gave Margaret a way to have a voice in the world and a way to communicate through her actions. So she was, even though I was painting with her, she was taking this action and painting. And it was beautiful for us. She died in August of 2015. I am currently getting to know how to be with this new Margaret, who doesn't have a body, but is with me as I walk through my life. I feel her as I look around my home, when I paint and dance and garden, when I listen to music, when I am in church, when I see mothers with their daughters, and I feel her present in the love I have for my partner Barry's children and grandchildren. The act of love brings me to Margaret, and I feel she is alive in me. The actions I take in my life are motivated by this deep love, which has grown from my love for Margaret. In the process of learning impermanence, I learned that living in the present moment was crucial to my ability to feel some sort of peace. I learned to listen to my heart, to meditate on the quiet beauty of the natural world, and to be grateful for the simple gifts life brings. In a strange and beautiful way, the deaths I experienced helped me to see the beauty in the everyday moments of my life. So I wanted to share a lovely poem that is quite cheerful. So just to end my speaking, it's by Carrie Newcomer, and it's about her gratitude practice. Every night before I go to sleep, I say out loud three things I'm grateful for. All the insignificant, significant, extraordinary, ordinary stuff of my life. It's a small practice and humble, yet I find I sleep better holding what lightens and softens my life ever so briefly at the end of the day. Sunlight, blueberries, good dogs, warm socks, a fine rain, a good friend, my father's good health, my daughter's new job, the song that always makes me cry, always at the same part, no matter how many times I hear it, decent coffee at the airport, your quiet breathing, the stories you told me, English horns and violins, wood thrush and June bugs, the smooth, glassy calm of the morning pond, an old coat, a new poem, and that my car keeps running despite all the miles. And after three things, more often than not, I keep on a roll and I just keep on going and naming and listing until I lie grinning, blankets pulled up to my chin, awash with wonder at the sweetness of it all. Thank you.